for we daily sin much. How do you know if someone is a Christian? I mean, really a Christian. I almost always preach on the gospel, almost always, and today I wish I would have. Texts like Romans 12 tempt me to the wrong kind of sermon. Sermons that feature the wolves of the law disguised as the sheep of the gospel. They go like this. In the book of Romans, Paul opens with universal law, makes it specific to the individual, and then follows with the gospel. Once he has talked about the redemption offered and won for us by Christ, then he gets down to his real business, the transformation of your behavior. That is, in Romans 12, Paul first reminds us to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice acceptable to the Lord, and then lays out instructions on how to do this. Sermons like this easily become harangues on what you should be doing, how you're not doing it, and how you would be blessed if you ever actually got around to doing it. Worst of all, they work. As a young pastor, I served a congregation that was involved in an ambitious building program. These good people of God were deeply committed to this project, in the abstract. But giving lagged, and things got tight. One Sunday, I blew my stack, and I harangued the saints over their failure to live up to their giving pledges. It was the best giving Sunday we ever had. Now the temptation came upon me. Should I do this again? And again? And again. The law always works. Well, yes, of course. There is the appropriate theological use of the law, which shows us our sin, crushes us into nothing, and leaves us desperate and helpless. And then there is the pietist use of the law, the use that employs the law to engender good works, the use that creates lists of things you got to do, hidden in the words of things you get to do. The use that shows you when you progress to the point that you are indeed a keeper of the law, unlike those sinners over there. Indeed, the ESV heads this section of Romans this way. These are the, quoting, marks of a true Christian. So if these are the marks, those things that identify a real Christian, frankly, I'm beginning to wonder if I'm a real Christian. I don't match up well. My only solace is that I certainly know that you are worse off than I am. I mean, who holds fast to what is good? Who blesses their persecutors? Who is patient in tribulation? Who has never repaid evil for evil? Who is not slothful? Who is constant in prayer? You get the point. The law is too much. It won't leave me or you alone. The law is like a rhinoceros that is chasing me down to kill me. My only hope is that I can run a little faster than you. But in the end, the rhino won't stop. Once it has crushed you, it will catch me and do the same. You pastors know the effects of this. One of the great difficulties that Christians face is the war within their own members. We struggle to do the Lord's will, as we come to know it, not because we have to, but because we want to. But frankly, do we even want to much of the time? Ask whether we want to do the Lord's will. Of course we'll say yes. But in the concrete, in the day-to-day exercise of our wills, we show what we really want, our way, our desires. Even as the redeemed people of God, we resist God's rule in our lives. Rather, we show that the objects of our desires, our wants, which move our wills, continue to be at odds with the revealed will of God. This is Paul, this is each of us, wretched man that I am. And then we wonder, O God, who knows all things, what do you think of me? O God, who sees all things, what do you see when you look at me? Do you see the marks of a true Christian or something less? In short, when we look at ourselves, we see only the realities of sin. But it is God who sees differently, who sees us in Christ. The Christ that we celebrate this Epiphany and always, to see only his perfections, the bright morning star. Drawn out of ourselves by God's Epiphany in Christ, we see the love and light of God himself. And God, because of Christ, when he gazes at us, sees only Christ. Simply, when God looks at you, he sees Christ. When we look at God, we see Christ. In other words, Romans 12 is not about the marks of a true Christian. It is about the marks of Christ on us. We hear that in Paul's introduction to Romans 12, which he offers in Romans 7. Likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to one another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Dead to the law, released from it because we belong to the one who has fulfilled it, the true subject of Romans 12. For it is Christ alone who genuinely loves, Christ alone who abhors evil, who holds fast and does what is good. Our elder brother has associated with we who are lowly. He has loved us and showed us honor. He is the one who, for the joy set before him, prayed in the garden, experienced horrific tribulation, and endured the cross, where he offered up his spirit, all that we might be welcomed into the household of God through the waters of baptism, where his life became ours, where our sinfulness was exchanged for his righteousness. Christ, by his life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, heaped burning coals on Satan's head, conquering him once for all. The mark of a true Christian is Christ. It is his sign, the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, which marks you as one redeemed by Christ. It is the name of the Holy Trinity placed upon you to set you apart as a member of his family. And so this word of God to us this morning is one of absolute comfort. In the moment of holy baptism, when the name of God was placed upon all of us, the eschatological reality of being one of God's loved ones transformed our lives, transported us by the waters from terror to life, from dread to love and acceptance, now shaped by the Trinitarian realities of love revealed in the cross of Christ and realized in the lives of us, his own dear children, who live under him and his kingdom in righteousness and purity forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.